Sponsorship of the Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you by great folks like our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go WDW. Days to Go lets you count in the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. And right now, we're down to just 37 days to go until what Mallory calls her birthday trip, and I'm calling a dopey New Year's Eve getaway. Regardless, you can get excited for your next trip as well. Download Days to Go WDW, and you're going to see right there in your home screen the little notification icon with how many days you have left until your trip. When you click into the app, you'll see amazing pictures. You can customize the text to match your vacation, and you can also get an audio alert each day. I get mine at 2:05 when the kids leave. It lets you know you're one day closer to your favorite place. Support our sponsors. We're thankful for them here in this Thanksgiving season. We hope that you'll grab this app today. Download Days to Go WDW today over at virtualmickey.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1097 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. And let me remind you that tomorrow is the day you need to bust out the sweatpants. That's right, it is Thanksgiving Day here in the United States. And on behalf of all of us here at the Be Our Guest Podcast, thank you so much for your amazing support over the last year. We just love being able to talk Disney with you three times a week, and we know it takes a lot of time to download and listen to the shows. So thank you so much for your support, your friendship, and just for everything you do for us. We have so much to be thankful for. So joining me today, and we're also thankful for your listener questions, which we're going to answer right away. Man, we have so much to talk about this week. It is incredible. So joining me to answer some questions and talk about all kinds of Disney announcements, we have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. And Ricky, I hope you are doing a great job preparing the meal for tomorrow, because I think the St. Louis crew is down in the south with you, right?
They are. I got the whole fam coming up here. Well, you know, it's well, one's coming up, one came down. So
meet in the middle.
So, yep, they're all meeting in the middle, but the whole family's here and getting ready. And I don't know. At least I know how to make a turkey now somewhat. So I will give you the tip that my mom shared with me this year that we're going to try. We're going to, instead of, you know, how people cook it with the breast side up, we're going to try it with the breast side down. Supposedly that makes it a little juicier. So
kind of sounds like a yoga move or something like you would do, you know, at a yoga studio. I don't know how to change the taste.
So I don't know. I'll have to report back if it made it juicier or not. But yeah, so apparently it makes a juicier bird. We'll see how this goes.
I was going to ask each of you if you have any kind of, you know, family Thanksgiving tradition, because I will say, and I think I've mentioned this in the past, that my grandma, before she passed away a couple years ago, she used to always, you know, we'd always celebrate the holidays at Grandma Rallman's house. And one of the things that we did that I don't think anybody else that I know does or did was we would have dressing balls. And she would take the stuffing and wrap them in, like, make them into balls, you know, about the size of a, like, a little bit smaller than a baseball. And, like, she'd put those out as people were arriving at the house as kind of like appetizers. And those things would go so fast between myself, my dad, my uncle, all my cousins. I mean, they were just like, oh, you had to get there early because she'd make like 50 or 75 of these things and they were gone. So that's one of our fun traditions. So Pam Forrester from the Magic for Less Travel, happy Thanksgiving to you. Any fun traditions up in Pittsburgh?
Thanksgiving. Well, so I don't, my family, we traditionally, for the past, well, I don't know, for a past while, I put up the Christmas trees. I know I've mentioned some of the podcasts, but we have multiple trees in our house. And I put up the trees with just the, you know, they're pre-lit, so no ornaments, just the trees before Thanksgiving, so that on Thanksgiving Day, the trees are all up. And then that evening, we tend to decorate the tree. So that's kind of one of our Thanksgiving traditions. As far as food goes, we do like the same kind of foods all the time, sort of. But the thing I think that's different, at least that I do, that not everyone does, is we have a butternut squash salad that we have is one of our items. And it's actually one that I frequently give the recipe out because people like it so much. But anyways, that's kind of our non-traditional Thanksgiving kind of thing. So
The pre-lit trees, though, the pre-lit, because, you know, we just have the old traditional, you know, one you put back in the box every year, you put it up, and it's not pre-lit. And I don't know. I would save so much time going to Walgreens because there's always like, oh, we need one more string. That string burned. Oh, wait, you know, not quite enough. We need another 100. No kidding. Last year, I think we had 1,200 lights on our tree. And I mean, we don't even have that big of a tree. But my wife puts so many lights on that Christmas tree that, no kidding, when you're sitting in there, the living room is hot. Like, you don't even need the heat on. I mean, it is wicked hot.
The pre-lit, actually, yes, that's totally the way to go, especially when you have the number of trees that we do. So anyways, it saves a lot of time and a lot of fights, I
Yeah, that's true.
I think putting on lights are stressful.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's the traditional, you know, hanging the lights fight, and then you make up, and it's all good.
Thanksgiving fight.
That's it. All right. Let's get to the questions. Amanda Olson has our first one. Mike and the gang, I'm having a bit of a magical meltdown. This one just came in today, so it's topical here. I worked so hard to plan a time to go to the parks in January when I thought the crowds would be fairly low. We are going January 27th to the 31st. I found out several weeks ago that we will be there over the Pro Bowl weekend, and now Epcot has added a new festival. I am so worried that both the Magic Kingdom and Epcot will be packed to the brim, and am worried that our quiet, relatively low crowd parks will turn into madness. We are planning on hitting the Magic Kingdom on Sunday, as some of the crowds will be absent that night for the Pro Bowl and are going to Epcot on Monday. What's a girl to do? Do you think this festival will draw as many people as Food and Wine? How should we prepare? Thanks so much in advance for all of your help and tips. I've been listening for a couple months now and love the magic you guys bring into my daily life. Best, Manda, the Mickey Mouse fan. P.S. Hope to be on a listener question show. I love those podcasts. All right, Amanda, guess what? You're on the show. All right, Ricky, so this new festival, so what's it? It's called the Festival of the Arts. And, you know, it's pretty clear to see what Disney's doing with this. They're squeezing it in to counteract exactly what Amanda was hoping for.
Correct.
They're trying to counteract the low crowd time between Marathon Weekend and Princess, really. I mean, if you think about the Run Disney weekends. So,
Christmas and the Epcot and Easter. Flower and Garden Festival,
yes,
too, because that's right in between those times. Yes.
So initial, I mean, we don't have a lot of information on this. You know, I saw art, music, and food. I mean, that's real general. I don't think it's going to be as big as Food and Wine or anything like that comparable this year because it's so soon. But what are your thoughts?
Yes. No, I would agree. I think that you're going to get maybe some locals who are really excited about it. I think you're going to get, depending on who, there are some. So part of the event will include Broadway performers, which to me is kind of the coolest part, is they're going to get people who are actually on stage to come and perform at the America Gardens Theater. And they're going to perform, of course, Disney songs and stuff like that. So I think that you'll get a lot more locals if you get somebody who's really good, like, you know, say they got, you know, James Englehart or something. I don't know if that, you know, that's somebody that they were looking at. But if they got him, I'd be all in. I'd be like, let's go. I'm in, you know, because he's amazing as the genie on Broadway. So, you know, that's what I think would be awesome. But I really think that this is kind of like you said, it's they're trying to bring out. I think they're really trying to at this point right now, because like you said, they're announcing it, what, less than two months before it starts. I think they're really trying to bring out the locals and stuff like that, and the people who can make those last minute vacations. So I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal this year, like you said, Mike. I think it's going to, if it continues and goes on year after year, I think it'll grow in popularity. But I don't know that it'll necessarily be as big ever as the, you know, Food and Wine Festival. Definitely not that big, or the Flower and Garden Festival. To me, it actually sounds a lot like the old Festival of the Masters,
Downtown Disney.
They did this before they did the construction at Disney Springs, and it was something that was kind of like this, except for it was just one weekend. But they would have like artists come in and do, you know, different artworks while they were there. You could buy art there. They would have some food. They didn't really have a lot like entertainment, like Broadway, you know, stars coming in. But this seems like a plussed up version of that. So I would assume that we'll never get Festival of the Masters back, but we will have this. So, you know, there's that.
So clarify, Joanne's in our chat. We love Joanne Griffith. And she says, you know, don't diss on the locals. I think, you know, and I don't think you're doing that at all. But I mean, compared to for somebody who's vacationing, maybe going down once every couple of years, what's that local? How does that impact your crowds? Because the locals are in the parks, you know, and I mean, that is their, you know, they're the ones that live near the parks and support the parks constantly. But they're not filling the hotel room. So how do you talk about that in a sense that somebody who's going down on vacation, they're worried about, oh man, there's a festival. It's going to bring out the locals.
Right. Well, I want Joanne, first of all, to know that I would never diss on the locals because first of all, I want to be a local.
I know
someday.
I want to
so,
too.
So like, let's just be honest. And I practically feel like one, even though I live here in Atlanta, I feel like I'm down there just as much. So, I never dissing on the locals. But you know, I think that the thing with, that Disney tries to do with something like this is to bring out people who live in the area, who can spend extra money in the parks. You know, we've had this, especially with the thing about the cabanas coming out this week, where lately it seems like Disney's trying to get a little more money, a little more money, a little more money. And so I think that, you know, with something like this, I think that they're trying to see, you know, because obviously the Food and Wine Festival is a big money maker for them. The Flower and Garden Festival is a big money for them. So I think that they're trying to figure out a way to get a little more money out of this time period when it's not so busy. So by having a festival and in essence, inviting more of the locals at this point, which is a good thing, to come into the parks, they get, you know, spending money and experiencing this. And then the locals and everybody else that actually get to experience it get to say, hey, oh my gosh, this is a really cool festival. You got to come down for that next year, that kind of thing. So I think it's a really awesome idea. Don't get me wrong. I think it's so great. And I think that this will grow in popularity as time goes on. But I don't think this year is going to be so big because, again, like I said, it was just announced, you know, less than 2 months prior. So.
Absolutely. Pam, I'm curious about your thoughts on this. You know, what you thought when Disney came up with this, you know, what are their intentions? And especially for the person who is planning a Disney vacation, most of the time, you know, at this point, your trip is planned for this time of the year, at least for this year. But, you know, what are your thoughts when you heard this happen? What came to mind?
So I think this is really funny because I was actually just looking at some of the material that we send out to guests who book with our agency. And one of the things I was going to write up something about was the issue of don't worry too much, mm-hmm. because the thing is, things are going to change. I can guarantee this, hours are going to change. Extra magic hours may change. Rides may close, water parks may close, your resort may be undergoing construction, something like this may be announced. And the only thing that you can do is come up with what you feel is the best plan for you and whoever you're traveling with, and then sit back and relax and do not ever stress about little details like this, because it is what it is, really. And the thing is, I've seen people absolutely ruin their vacation. I'm not saying that our listener is doing this, but I just was putting it out as a cautionary tale that I've seen people worry so much about things like this and second guess themselves and third guess themselves and fourth guess themselves that it drives them absolutely crazy. And let me tell you, when you're there, whether you're there on the busiest day of the year or the least busy day of the year, there is fun to be had. There is magic all around you. You don't need to worry about these things. Now, I understand totally. You want to put yourself in a place where you feel like you're informed and you have the best strategy that's kind of thought out for you and yours. Once you pick your fast passes and you make your dining arrangements, you've probably already done that. You've done more than so many of the people that were there. And let me give you another little piece of advice. If you're using the dining plan, know how to use it. The last time we were there, I swear I must have been behind everyone and their brother who did not understand the dining plan. Oh. And some of the cast members were really good and some of them weren't. And I wanted
They're like, I've heard this 1,000 times today. I'm so tired of explaining how the dining plan works.
Just take the cookie. You get a dessert with your package. Get a cookie.
I'm like helping people. I'm serious. And then I'm like, okay, I've got to stop doing this. But anyways, what I'm saying is there's just the only thing that is, you know, constant with Disney is change. There's always going to be change. And I still think you're going during a fantastic time of the year. I wouldn't worry about how this is really going to impact the crowds. This particular event, I don't think will have too much impact on a crowd. I absolutely think that Disney is trying to make sure, you know, Disney is doing some things that Disney World is doing some things that Disneyland has done for many years. And that is to change things often, to make new offerings available, to have additional things that people who are local are going to want to come and see.
And these small festivals are big about that. Like Disneyland has these kind of small festivals all the time.
Yep, yeah. They absolutely do. And that's something that I think we will see a lot more of Disney do as we move to the future forward, because they do want to bring in those local guests. And Disney really has a very small number of hotel rooms available when you think about big picture and how many people can be at Walt Disney World. So until they start getting some other hotels in there, which we've heard some of the announcements over the past weekend, that Disney is going to be adding some more resorts, that they're absolutely going to be looking to increase people in the parks, and they're looking to the locals to do that. So,
man, I'm so glad we're all three back. I love these conversations. Seriously, it's so much fun for me.
And I also want to quell her fears about the Pro Bowl. I don't think that's going to be as big of a deal as maybe she's worried about. So
maybe she's a Rams or a Browns fan. Then you don't have to really worry at all because you won't know anybody.
Right, exactly. But I think she's got the right idea, though, of, you know, going to the Magic Kingdom on that Sunday.
Yeah.
Just in case, because they will all be at the Pro Bowl. But I really don't think you're going to see that much in an uptick in traffic with that. You may see a football player or something, but other than that, I don't think you're going to have too much of a worry.
All right. Check out where this next question's from. It's from Julie. It says, "Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I hope you and the families are doing great. My name is Julie. I'm Brazilian, and I live in Sao Paulo." I'm saying that wrong. "I'm engaged to be married in October 21st, and we are planning our Disney honeymoon with a great deal of help from your tips. It is our first trip to Walt Disney World, and I'm so excited I cannot sleep sometimes. We've already chosen a time period from October 23rd until November 8th. The amount of time we intend to spend in each park, Disney and Universal..." She was going great till then. No, just kidding. "We are also planning..."
No, she's good for us.
I know. I'm just kidding. "We're also planning a little day escape to Kennedy Space Center. He is a NASA fan." Oh, you're going to love Kennedy Space Center. "And I'm now planning some little surprises for my husband-to-be. We're planning to stay at Disney's Port Orleans French Quarter." This parenthetical here, perfect resort for a honeymoon. "Since it sounds like the best option for our budget. Our currency is worth 3.5 times less than your American dollars, so we're aiming at French Quarter to make it comfortable but also affordable. I'm also considering making a secret upgrade to surprise him, maybe to a Riverview or King Room. Would you have any tips about that? Would you recommend staying at Riverside? I'm writing to thank you for making my planning much easier and fun, but also to ask for some advice. I would like to surprise him with a fancy dinner, but I'm not sure I'm going to have the cash to pay for Victoria and Albert's menu. I'm also concerned about Victoria and Albert's because he is a bariatric patient. He's lost over 72 pounds, and he eats in little portions and is unlikely that he will enjoy a 7-course meal. Does Disney have any different menus for people who have undergone bariatric surgery? Also, on the surprise dinner topic, could you help me with other suggestions of signature dining options for a romantic night out? Are there any possibilities for making it even more special for him, like ordering a special dessert beforehand or something like that? Thanks so much for the podcast and help making my childhood dreams come true. Love and hugs from Brazil, Julie." How cool is that? It's South America. That's so cool. So congratulations, Julie. You guys are gambling. Let me just first start off. And Pam, I think French Quarter for a honeymoon, man, that is a sweet place to land. I mean, regardless of like your budget, and it's right there in the middle, which is a good spot. You can also get a good discount there a lot of times. But I mean, that place is romantic. I mean, we talk about, is this romantic? Yes, French Quarter is.
It is absolutely romantic, as opposed to the picture of you and Steve on the TTA.
Yeah, that was, that was kind of confusing.
That was that could be romantic. Right. Maybe not with Steve and Mike, but anyone else. Like, me and Brian in the car behind you.
So, yes. No, I think French Quarter is absolutely. And the thing that you absolutely need to do is, first of all, take the boat over to Disney Springs in the evening, because that is always romantic. And I think that to walk around the resort and even over to Riverside, I think is kind of a cool thing to do, a romantic thing to do at night. So absolutely, I think you're right on track there with French Quarter. You're going to have a great stay there.
And I definitely upgrade to a king bedroom or Riverview because it's not that much more expensive. It does feel just a little bit nicer. The king bedrooms are typically on the corners at French Quarter, so you'll have the two windows most of the time. Just makes the room a little more bright and airy. And a lot of those corner rooms, even on some of the buildings, are actually kind of Riverview too, because you got two sides. But either one, I mean, you're gonna love it there. So let's get to the question about the fancy dinner. Her husband's a bariatric, had bariatric surgery, so he doesn't, you know, wants to eat in small portions, not just kind of. And that's kind of tough at Disney. A lot of times, when you sit down at a place, yeah, man, they give you so much food that it's tough. So Ricky, any suggestions? Because they want to go somewhere fancy. I mean, it's their honeymoon. She wants to surprise them. But where can you go fancy without like going like gorging yourself?
So my suggestion, the first thing that popped in my head when she was saying this, was not Victoria and Albert's. Even though that is considered to be, of course, one of the fanciest places on Disney property, of course, it's this massively delicious restaurant and everybody talks about it. But my first inclination was actually Tiffin's at Disney's Animal Kingdom. I think that Tiffin's is fabulous. I think the food, you know, I've actually heard people compare it to Victoria and Albert's quality. That's how good it is. Never having been to Victoria and Albert's, it's hard to say myself. If, you know, if someone wants to pay to take me to Victoria and Albert's, that's fine. But I can't see my husband taking me. So, but you know, I think that this would really be a good choice because, you know, it's not a 7-course meal. You can order off the menu. So you can order an appetizer if you want, or you can just order an entree, or you can order dessert. The items on the menu are fantastically good. Can I just say that Wagyu beef is so incredible. It's one of the best pieces of beef I've ever had in my entire life. And then they also have, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but the octopus was fantastic as well. Sounds scary. Never thought I'd eat it,
but
it was so good. So what'd you say?
No, for real. I can't believe you. I wouldn't eat an octopus.
I know, right? It's so disgustingly sounding, but it's so good. I have to tell you, it was delicious. So it has this great char grilled taste. Oh my gosh. I could totally go for a little bit of an octopus right now.
I just see it like it attacking your face, like with its 8 like arms, like it's stuck on my face. No, get it off.
And, you know, Brian cut it so that I couldn't tell that it was octopus, and it was fine. So, but I think that's a really great place to go. It's romantic. It's kind of quiet right now because people don't know about it yet, really. Who knows how that will go once Avatar Land opens. I'm sorry. Pandora, the World of Avatar, yes, opens. But, you know, I think that it's a great restaurant to go to, and I think that it's the perfect honeymoon restaurant. Yep. I think maybe not as good as Victoria and Albert's, but I think it's a good second choice.
And Adam's my brother from another mother down there in Alabama saying he's not eating octopus either. Yes, that's right. That's right, Adam. I got you. No, I would suggest Morimoto Asia at Disney Springs. Beautiful restaurant. Gorgeous. Asian, I don't know what you call that, like Asian zing type. I mean, it was good. I don't even know. I was eating there that one time. They had everything laid out. I don't even know what I was eating. Everything I had was good. Like sushi, that isn't something you really stuff yourself with. I mean, and it's tasty. It's fancy. It's gorgeous in there, multi-level. I would say think about Morimoto Asia at Disney Springs. So Pam, throw in one more suggestion here for Julie.
I think those are both good suggestions that you both came up with. And I will say this is, you know, there are so many, I think, restaurants that are good. And I wanted to point out that Victoria and Albert's does not have a less expensive menu. It is prefixed. There's not a children's menu. It is what it is. Everyone pays the same for that. So just FYI on that. I just wanted to make sure that you knew that. When we were down there recently, we had another great meal at California Grill. It was actually Steve and I, and it's not, you know, Steve and I don't have that many times that we're there just by ourselves.
Yeah, I was supposed to be there to make it more romantic, but I had a fast pass.
Of course.
But we sat there together and we had drinks and we had an appetizer and we had an entree and we just had an extended meal and really just had a great time together. We had a great server. Shout out to Mo, who I've known that we've had her in the past too, but she was really great and knowledgeable just made some great suggestions for us. And I think that it's easy to eat at California Grill because you can order as little or as much as you want. There have been times where I know Steve and I have split like salad and sushi and drinks, and that's all we wanted. And that was way fine. So just think about that too. Plus the view. How can you beat the view from there? It's just incredible. We saw some of the party fireworks when we were there, and that was just, you know, a really, really cool view. So another place to think of, I know that I talk about that often, but there are so many restaurants, I think, that are just so, you know, that have so many great offerings there. Make sure that you look at the menu and find something that really appeals to you, because that's the key.
And I would say, too, if you go to Disney Springs, a couple of options for really good desserts. And I mean, it doesn't have to be fancy. I think it's just the fun of it all. I would go to Sprinkles Cupcakes and get a couple of cupcakes after your dinner at Morimoto Asia if you pick that, or the Ganachery if you really want to splurge and have some good. I had some chocolate down there this past time because I would never go in there normally. I'm just too fancy, but they sent us on like a scavenger hunt. So I went in there. I was like, I don't even like dark chocolate.
I got to go to a media event. They sent me on a scavenger hunt.
No,
it was like,
because you know, I ate it off a popsicle stick. I didn't eat like a whole thing. They handed me a popsicle stick with like some chocolate on it, but it like buckled my knees. It was so good.
I didn't even eat an entire piece of chocolate because I ate so much.
Whatever, Ricky. I'm just saying, I don't shop, but they made us go in these places. I was like, oh, chocolate is so good. Anyway, the Ganachery, if you want a sweet dessert, that's pretty good. All right, let's get to the next question before I get any more trouble.
Yeah, before I beat you up. Yeah, exactly.
Not bitter enough. This is the season of Thanksgiving, Ricky. You're supposed to be kind.
Nope, not to you.
This is how it is. This is a family Thanksgiving right here. It's already starting.
He's in the bitter barn.
That's it. Anyway, the Blackmore family has our next question. Hi, guys. Apologies if this isn't the right form for a question. Hey, we got it anyway. Ricky found it. As a Christmas present for the kids this year, we shall be taking them to Walt Disney World for 2 weeks next summer. Now, a future trip to Walt Disney World is quite difficult to wrap and put under the Christmas tree. Thinking about a special envelope, invite, ticket, etc. that we can wrap up. Something that can be physically opened. Is there something out there like this? Granted, I could make my own, but I'm pretty sure it will be disappointing if I tried it. I'm not exactly the artistic kind. Thank you in advance from across the pond, the Blackmore family. I'm with you, the Blackmore family. I am so terrible with giving, like, you got the perfect gift. But when it comes to the presentation, the wrapping, I'm terrible at that kind of stuff. So I'm going to pass it off to the ladies. What kind of thing could you physically put under the tree to knock their socks off? Ricky, what would you do if you're given a Disney two-week vacation? I mean, I'd have a heart attack, but what could you do to represent that?
Well, I am terrible at these ideas as well. So I think we're going to have to rely on Pam for the really creative ones. But the only thing that I can think of
You need one of those, what are those called? The cricket thing? The thing punches out some letters and
yes,
then you got to
exactly.
decipher it?
I don't know how to do any of that. I'm not artsy craftsy. I got nothing. My mom totally has the artsy crafty skills. I did not obtain those in the hereditary gene pool. So, you know, I think that my best suggestion is to take a box and put some go to the dollar store or something and buy some balloons, some Disney balloons, and maybe put the Disney balloons in the box and then have attached to one of the balloons a note that says, guess what, you're going to Disney World. That's about the only thing I got. I really have no good ideas. I'm sorry, I fail at life.
You know what I would say, and I mean, this is just, it's so sad that we're in this day and age. I'd go on YouTube and just type in like Walt Disney World surprise videos and just steal
Absolutely.
Somebody else's videos. What
exactly
the chances your kids have
do.
Seen that?
Yep.
Pam, what can you think of anything that might be cool?
So some of the fun things that I've seen people do that I think are really creative is to come with a kind of scavenger hunt. So you start one place and, you know, I'm sure that you can think of things that are, you know, kind of meaningful to you, but have them kind of do a little work for it. And it's always better when you do a little work for something and then have it end with either, you know, it's like autograph books or Mickey ears, or the balloons are kind of a cool idea, especially if you'll put them in the box and the balloons will, you know, they're helium filled and will rise up out of the box.
Right, that was my hope, that they would be full.
The whole present would be on the ceiling. Like, what's that present hook that's attached to the ceiling? What's that one? That's what I'd want to know.
But I mean, if there is some way to incorporate, like, where you're staying and the kind of things that you're going to do in the scavenger hunt without actually coming right out and saying it, I think that that's a cool thing to do. You know, scavenger hunt, treasure hunt, whatever you want to think of. The other thing is you can go online and just search like invitation from their favorite character or princess or whatnot, and you'll be able to find the font and get a little creative there and come up with what looks like kind of an invitation from that character inviting them to Walt Disney World. And I always think that's really a fun thing to do too.
One of the cool things that Disney Cruise Line does, and I don't know if every guest is aware of this, is that you can get a call from a Disney character welcoming you to your cruise. That's just one of the things on DisneyCruise.com. I think it's pretty cool. I think it's Goofy that calls you. Or is it Mickey? I think it's Goofy. I don't know. I'll have to call.
Both.
I'll have to check it out.
One calls, they call
you.
The other calls.
Yeah, well, you know, they got to take breaks. You know, it's like you can't
exactly.
work all the time.
That's right. They're not on duty all the time.
That's exactly it. Tell me. It's like when I have to change a cruise reservation at 9 o'clock on a Sunday night. Oh, they're off. They're off. Mickey's chilling out. It's Sunday night. Anyway, Melanie has our next question. Mike, Ricky, and Pam, thanks for taking the time to read this email. I recently caught up on the podcast going back from April. I was listening to the episode where someone wrote in asking if using a travel agent is a good idea for that type A planner. Well, as a type A planner, I could not do it without the Magic for Less. I still make my own dining and FastPass Plus reservations. The fact that you guys are there watching for the best deal to come out and how fast you jump on the deals is amazing. Just recently, the Magic for Less saved me $500 and I got upgraded to club level. This has never happened and would not have happened had it not been for the folks at the Magic for Less. I tell everyone who is thinking about a Disney trip to contact the Magic for Less. So thank you so much, Melanie. We appreciate that. Here's your question. I'm going on a cruise in December. What do you know about the internet package Disney Cruise offers? My job has offered to reimburse me for the cost if it would mean I am available to check emails and dial into my computer at the office. Is this reliable? Thanks for everything you guys do. Melanie is down in Houston, Texas. All right, let me give you, Melanie, don't get the internet because then you got to work. Don't do it. I don't care how fast it is. So, Pam, I know you've recently sailed. And again, sometimes we compare Royal Caribbean and other cruise lines to Disney Cruise Line. Right now, the leader by far at the seas when it comes to internet speed and reliability is Royal Caribbean, correct?
100%.
With their Voom. I mean, they have that Voom internet.
I'm laughing about it because my frustration with the Disney, with being on a Disney cruise line and trying to get internet is a challenge. I mean, and anyone who's tried to do that knows what it's like. But yeah, Royal Caribbean actually has internet that is functional and you can use. And I'm not saying that Disney Cruise Line internet isn't functional at times, but it is a bit more challenging. I would say that you typically will be able to get your email and things like that to pull down. And I would look at ways of, you know, minimizing that expense. But it's not, there's not a package that is all-inclusive anymore. You just pay for it for the amount that you use. It's up to a certain amount. I think they have 3 or 4 different levels that you can pay for and go from there. But you will be able to use it. But I kind of feel like Mike does. And it might be better if you're like... I don't know about the internet. It's all wonky.
Yeah, exactly. Melanie, if you need me to type something up for you saying that there's no internet access on the Disney Cruise Line, I will gladly do that because the thing is, it sounds like work's trying to bait you right there. With it. Yeah, we'll pay for your internet.
Yeah, we'll pay for the internet.
Exactly. No, don't do it.
Not having the internet.
No, never. Yeah. Okay, let me ask you this question.
It's nice not having it, actually.
Oh, it's so nice. Yeah. For somebody that loves the internet, it is nice. Okay, Pam, so here's the $1 million question. Harder to get a signal on Disney Cruise Line or in your room at Pop Century? Because either place, I swear it's the only place on earth that doesn't have internet.
Or to get, how about to get your phone to work? Like,
that's what I mean. Exactly.
Text messages from Steve when Hannah and I are in Walt Disney World, and he's like, I've been trying to call you. What are you doing? Like, I'm just sitting here in my room,
just chilling, whatever.
Yeah, some of those rooms, I swear, are like nuclear fallout shelters because there is nothing penetrating those walls ever. And the thing is, like, the guy next door to you could be snoring and you hear him clear as day, but yet a cell signal can't go through. Come on. What? You know, it's got to be one way or the other. You know, I shouldn't hear people flushing their toilets if I can't get a cell signal through that wall. Anyway, just my little rant. All right, time for the last question of the day. It's almost turkey time. Rachel has it. She's from Austin, Texas. We're all over Texas. Hello. My father and I are going on our first Disney cruise the last weekend of January. We get back to Florida on that Monday. He's flying out in the afternoon that Monday, and I am flying back Tuesday morning. I decided I want to stay a night at Art of Animation Resort that night. I'll be on my own that evening, and I'm really curious about going to Flying Fish Restaurant since I have heard so much about it. My question is, do I have to make a reservation for just me? The times they have available right now are not ideal. Or could I chance it and maybe get a seat at the bar? What is the general rule for single diners? Also, if I can't get in there, I thought I'd try Beaches and Cream. Do I need a reservation there? Thanks. All right, Pam, tell us about Flying Fish if you are flying fish solo.
Well, see what I did there? Regardless of whether you have one in your party or 10 in your party, you're supposed to, I would make an ADR to guarantee seating. I realize that the times aren't ideal, and make one and see if you can tweak that to get it closer to the time that you want to do. You always do have the option of walking in and walking up and seeing if they can seat you. But at times, their answer is going to be no. It's not a guarantee just because you're one or two or whatnot, especially with Flying Fish. I saw a lot of people being turned away the last time we ate there. It's reopened recently. Probably a lot of people are trying to get in there to see how it is after the reopening, things like that. So if it's something that you really want to do, you know you want to do, then I'd set up the ADR now. If it's something that you're willing to chance it, and if need be, go somewhere else, awesome. But your backup choice shouldn't be Beaches and Cream, unfortunately, because it has an ADR policy as well, and oftentimes you're going to want to have arrangements there too. I've seen a lot of people be turned away or be sitting there for hours at Beaches and Cream. So maybe your backup plan should be something that's maybe not quite so busy. Check out the restaurants at the Swan and Dolphin. You can frequently eat there without a reservation. That's something you can do. Big River doesn't take reservations, so you may want to consider that. But again, if it's any place you really want to eat, I'd make the dining reservation.
Or what about Captain's Grill? That'd be a good place to go if you're struck out of Flying Fish, right? I mean,
yes, it is. It would be.
Oh no, I'm thinking. No, I meant Cruise Cup. Cruise Cup's what I meant. I get those always mixed up. Cruise Cup.
Cruise Cup. Yes, I thought Captain's Grill. No, we had some issues.
Yeah, we did. No, I meant Cruise Cup. I always get those two mixed up. They both start with C's.
Yes, Cruise Cup, you absolutely can walk up to. It's a lounge. You can't make reservations there, and the food's really good. Captain's Grill, too funny. We got to call them out on their policy about seating. Captain's Grill, food's good. Seating, not so good.
I know. God, their food is really good, though.
The food is good.
Like, I endure the torture of the service sometimes just because the food's so good. It's not good.
We're going to have a conversation about this later.
We'll talk more about this on Friday, but that's it for today's questions. Keep them coming in over the Thanksgiving holidays. You're sitting there this weekend. You're stuffed. You cannot get off the couch. Maybe just your thumbs are working. That's the only part of your body that can physically move after all the tryptophan. Send us a question, mike@brguestpodcast.com. We'll get that in the queue and answer that right away. Today's show here on a Wednesday, of course, brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News Disney Edition. And Ricky, I know it was a slow news week. I mean, not much has happened since the last podcast.
Not at all. No. This weekend did not keep me busy.
I know. I think the app's off the App Store because there's just nothing to read on it this week. There's nothing there. So what might you find on Theme Park News Disney Edition right about now?
What would you like to talk about? there's the cabanas to the Magic Kingdom, which are a delightful $649. Now, granted, you get them all day, but you get some amenities like a fridge with some waters and sodas and snacks, and
you get some off
sunscreen
off or deep woods off.
Yes, exactly. Uh-huh. You get a couch in there so you can relax a little bit. That kind of stuff. You get ice cream novelties one time during. You pay that much money for a thing and you only get one ice cream bar one time. It's fine. And then you also get, let's see what else is there. You can get food delivered for a fee. Obviously you're paying for your food still. Just a bunch of things with these. They're in Tomorrowland, over on the side of Space Mountain. So there's those. Yay.
Yeah. And so if you want to read more about the cabanas, I heard about cabanas and I thought, oh, they're bringing, you know, cabanas from the Disney Cruise Line, like this really nice, you know, like buffet to Tomorrowland. Nope. Yeah, no, they're actually little tents. But you know what? You can make your own decision. There's a lot. You know, the one thing the Disney community never, you know, I wish that, you know, here coming into 2017 in the next month or so, I wish the Disney community would give their opinion on things like this, you know, because
absolutely.
Like, that's
right. Yes, yeah. Please share more.
I wish they would give it immediately instead of giving it any time to like think about it, process it, right. Find more details out about it, anything. I would like to see those opinions given immediately because I need to know.
I will say, I did the math. I can't believe I did math. And if you had it for eight, because it holds eight people, if you divided the $649 divided by eight, it's only $81 per person. When you look at that, that makes it a little more digestible.
Hello, in July?
In July. Well, it's not.
Is it air conditioned? Everything's getting better.
I heard that they were going to be air conditioned.
Oh, maybe they will be.
They will be in January.
No need in January. Right.
No, that's true. But
anyway.
Yeah, so if they are air conditioned, it may be worth the money.
I'm saying $81 actually doesn't seem too bad in July. So.
But all eight people. You have to have eight. Yeah. So.
Got to have seven friends. Anyway, so this is the kind of stuff. You don't get the banter, but you get the facts.
No, you don't get the banter, right. That's for sure.
You get them with Theme Park News Disney Edition. It's a free iOS app. It's going to make your Apple device a Disney device. Check out these and other great apps over at virtualmickey.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at BeOurGuestMike. And we have an awesome Facebook group stepping up to almost 5,000 likes over there. We appreciate that so much. So join in. We're close, Ricky, at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Lots of stuff over there the past week. Go ahead.
Sorry, what you were going to talk about.
The drones.
We do have our, we're about to the end of being able to accept people to participate in both the Christmas card and the Christmas ornament exchange.
I got to get in
on that. So if you would like to participate, there is a pinned thread on our Facebook page, on the Be Our Guest Podcast Facebook page, with more information. You can contact either Florence or Michelle, who are running the exchanges this year, and we thank them very much for running them because they run them every year for us, and it means that we don't have to. So thank you guys. It's always so much fun getting to exchange Christmas cards and Christmas ornaments with everybody that listens to the podcast and everything like that. So please consider doing it. It's a lot of fun. I promise it's not scary. And we have a good time doing it. So
yes,
learn more on the Be Our Guest Podcast Facebook page.
All right. So also do check out Magical Mouse Radio for great Walt Disney World in-park audio music, always on at magicalmouseradio.com. All right, time to get out of here. We're going to be back again on Friday. I'm going to be talking about all the great stuff happening down during the holidays at Walt Disney World. Plus maybe some of this new stuff that was announced at the convention this past week. There's plenty to talk about. Who knows?
There's a lot.
Yeah, I know. We got to keep it. We got to figure out how to get all this in. Maybe it's going to take a month, but we'll start it on Friday. So anyway, we hope you all have the best Thanksgiving ever. So thankful for your friendship, your support, and just this community that we have. You guys are the best. So enjoy that time with friends and family. Don't eat too much. Everybody who's doing the runs, all the lizards, enjoy your Turkey Day trots and all that stuff. We'll be watching you there on the social media. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Wishing you a very happy Thanksgiving. Whatever you do, stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.